Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger, and with me today is a seminarian for the Diocese of Columbus, Tyler Carter. Welcome, Tyler.
Thank you, Father.
This conversation begins a series of conversations I'm going to be having with Tyler and with another seminarian for the Diocese of Columbus by the name of Peter Claver Casassa. They were both stationed at the cathedral with me this summer, so I just wanted to kind of get their perspectives on things. But let's begin with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we give you thanks for Tyler. We ask that you bless him and bless his discernment of his vocation. Bless our time together and this day. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Now, Tyler, on this show, Conversations and Discipleship, we usually begin the conversation with your story. So most often, because we talk about discipleship, it's the story of one's conversion. And, of course, all seminarians have been converted at some point in their life. But also, I think with that is your vocation story, maybe how you felt the call to go into seminary.
Very good. Well, so every seminarian, like you said, has a vocation story, and they're all very unique. Some guys, you know, didn't discern until later, you know, that they're called to the priesthood. But for me, I'm one of those who were pretty sure from a young age, or at least had a feeling from a young age, that I wanted to be a priest. And, you know, I grew up playing Mass and, you know, using grandma's shot glasses to make little circles of bread for hosts, things like that. So for me, it wasn't so much discovering that I felt called to the priesthood, because that had been in place for a long time. However, for me, I did have to discover why that is, you know, because there's so much you can know as a little kid, and you don't really know why necessarily. You really want, you know, why you really have that desire. But as I've continued to discern and pray, and especially through high school, kind of felt more called to service in the church as a way to serve those, the people of God, in a way that no other profession can. I mean, we have, you know, doctors who can help you with your bodily ailments and things, and, you know, psychiatrists and psychologists who can help you with the mind. But only the priest can really help with the spiritual issues and things that are unique, completely different from any other type of doctor. And that's what, it's actually funny. Whenever I tell people, you know, seminary is about 8 years long, typically, they always say, oh, like a doctor. Well, yeah, kind of, like a doctor of souls. And so, yeah, for me, it's really been kind of growing in that understanding of what the priesthood is really about. And for me, it's also a blessing. My uncle is Father Tim Hayes, a priest of the diocese, who's down in Chillicothe now. And so growing up, I got to kind of witness, you know, his priesthood and see how he was able to serve the people of God and see the different sacrifices that priests have to make and things like, you know, being called away from Thanksgiving to go anoint someone who was dying in the hospital or various things like that. So I never really had a kind of romanticized view of the priesthood, you know, that they just work on Sunday or anything like that. But, you know, I really got to see the deeper side and see the life of a priest just with his family and then also with his parishioners and see that kind of double-sided vision.
You know, so many vocation stories are connected to this, you know, what kind of work is there for me to do, mm-hmm. you know, and that that arises, one, first of all, I think oftentimes from an interest in certain work, mm-hmm. and then second is the talent to do certain work. So, sure. You know, we want to keep both of those in mind. Because it sounds to me that they are definitely a part of your story. What was it about the work of the priesthood that attracted you? Like, you could see yourself doing this.
Well, I'd say there's so many different facets of that. But, you know, the first thing, just the Eucharist. That's one of the biggest things is, you know, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. The idea of being able to, every morning, you know, bring the Lord down upon the altar and to feed the people of God spiritually with the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ is something, you know, that's so amazing and so powerful. And having been a server, I served at St. Patrick's for a long time growing up and was actually head of the server program for a while, all 100-plus boys there. So that was an amazing experience. But just being so close to the altar and seeing the power of the Mass and seeing how it can really change lives and, you know, seeing just the beauty of that sacrifice.
Was that something all along in your life, kind of this attraction to the Mass then?
I'd say so, with, again, like being a little kid and playing Mass, you know, having that kind of desire to do it, even when I didn't really know why necessarily mm-hmm. at that point, or really didn't necessarily understand all that was going on during the Mass.
If you're tuning in, this is Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me is a seminarian for the Diocese of Columbus, Tyler Carter. And Tyler, you're at the Josephino, is that right?
I am.
Okay, great. Tyler, we were talking about your own vocation and, you know, of course, having your uncle, the great Father Tim Hayes, you know, and you see this sort of human side of the priesthood and the sacrifices that are all involved. Before I kind of go into the sacrifices as you see them, because I would like to talk about that, just to kind of flesh out that point a little bit too. So, you know, this interest in certain things, you mm-hmm. know, like certain things that priests do that we see ourselves doing, and you saw in your, especially in the Mass, which really is the heart of the priesthood. But also, you know, I think people discern an inclination to the priesthood based on the talents that God gave them. You know, that, mm-hmm. you know, maybe you saw an ability to do these things in your own life, sure. you know, and that God had already blessed you with sort of the natural abilities to start doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, you know, singing and chanting for the Mass, that's one thing I've always really loved, and I've been told I have a good voice, so hopefully one day I'll be able to use that gift towards, you know, singing the liturgy. And also, I would say, you know, speaking. Mm-hmm. Speaking is something most have been interested in, and preaching especially, because, you know, that's where you win a lot of hearts, is through preaching. And in seminary, you know, you get a good dose of different homilies from the deacons, transitional deacons each year, and the different priests in the seminary. And so seeing different preaching styles and trying to kind of figure out where I might fit into that, but how best, you know, I can reach people and bring them in and to really show them the love of God through homiletics.
And you went through Catholic education, is that right?
I did, yes.
Through, where'd you do your elementary at?
I was at Mater Dei Academy. It's a small private Catholic school in
Whitehall. And then Waterson is, you're
correct.
A Waterson
yeah.
product.
2015.
So. Excellent, excellent. So, I mean, certainly you, through Catholic education, you grew in your knowledge of the faith. And I think very often in the story of vocational discernment is also this, and you alluded to this, is explaining the faith to mm-hmm. others. And did you find yourself, you know, growing up kind of this sort of natural ability or at least inclination to try to explain the faith to your peers and to others?
Sure. Like I said, it's been, you know, for me, it's something I've known from a very young age that I want to be a priest. And so that's been something that even in high school, you know, people would pick up on or, you know, would ask about. And so I got a lot of opportunity in high school. And actually, I did do 1 year at St. Charles. So that was my freshman year. And then I did 3 at Waterson. So at both of those places, though, my classmates would ask me different questions about the faith. Mm-hmm. You know, why does the church say this? Or why does the church say that? Or, you know, does the church really teach this? You know, and ask different hot topic questions, things like that. And so that was a great experience for me to be able to relate with my peers and to kind of explain to them on a maybe simpler level than some of the catechism's explanations of the church teachings and things. And so that was a great experience for me, really, was in high school.
And you went into seminary right out of high school, is that right? Into college
I did.
Seminary.
Yes.
Excellent. Which seems to be pretty common nowadays.
Yeah, there's a lot of seminarians who have entered right out of college. So yeah. We have a lot at the Josephinum.
Now, you mentioned, and I wanted to kind of flesh this out too, is the idea of sacrifice. So you saw in your own family with your uncle mm-hmm. the sacrificial nature of the priesthood.
Yes. Yeah.
And, I mean, what are some of the sacrifices that you see that you're entering into?
Sure. Well, the first one, and the one that a lot of people point out, you know, especially, again, former classmates and people like that, is the sacrifice of my own family. You know, not having a wife, not having kids, and not having that experience. But the priest is really part of everyone's family, and that's a big thing, and that's, again, what I've seen with my uncle, is having to, you know, leave our family gatherings to go and be with, you know, his flock, his parish, to be with people and to be at the bedside of the dying or to anoint the sick. Because really, you know, you have to enter into to every family in your parish. So it's not that you really don't have your own family. You have a lot of families.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to minister to all of them would be very hard if you did have your own, you know, wife and kids, and you'd be kind of struggling to take care of one or the other, and so that'd be very unfair, really. So seeing that, you know, sacrifice of your own family in order to better enter into every family is a beautiful thing, but not an easy thing either.
Yeah, and you know, certainly not just the idea of celibacy and family, but even really the trajectory of one's life. You know, that obedience sometimes is the more difficult of the promises.
Sure, yeah. Being able to be called, you know, wherever. So that was one thing, too, is, as I said, my uncle was just signed down to Chillicothe. I know that, you know, he's further away from family, and that was probably a struggle for him, but saying yes out of obedience, like you said, you know, it's the biggest thing, is obedience to the bishop. So if he needs me here, this is where I'll go. And knowing that you can still see your family, even if it's less, you know, but that you really, again, here, the priest is not his own, as Fulton Sheen's book title is titled. He has to go where he's called and serve all those to whom he's called.
And, you know, not to kind of dwell on the sacrifices, but there's also the good things of the priesthood, sort of the hope, you know, that the
certainly.
Lord, the Lord tells us that for those who sacrifice, that they'll receive even more blessings. I don't know. Have you gotten a taste of the blessings of the priesthood?
I would say, yeah. So like I said, there's a lot of sacrifice and giving up things to be with other families. But you also get the blessings of being part of other families. You get to see the, you know, the baptisms, the weddings, the you know, engagement ceremonies and blessings and all these special occasions that you're part of. And a lot of people do really see the priest as part of their family, you know. Often he's at the wedding dinners and things like that, you know. He comes, he's invited. And that's a beautiful thing, is being able to be part of families in those joyous occasions, too. Not just the sad occasions, but the happy ones.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Tyler. We're gonna continue this conversation in a little bit, but let's end with a prayer in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, we thank you for Tyler's witness and for this day. We ask that you strengthen and renew us through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. You've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship, and I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. Until next time, peace and all good.